you for joining us for the Mormon Channel Relief Society program. On the first week of each month, the Mormon Channel presents quotes and insights on the Relief Society visiting teaching message. This month, we will be reviewing the messages shared at the April 2011 General Conference on Service, Welfare, and Charity, the Pure Love of Christ in Action. Sister Sylvia H. Allred, the first counselor in the General Relief Society presidency, explained that one of the founding principles of Relief Society is charity and ministering to the poor and the needy. The definition that charity is the pure love of Christ, the love that Christ had for the children of men, and that the children of men should have for one another.
From the beginning of time, the Lord has taught that to become His people, we need to be of one heart and one mind. The Savior also explained that the two great commandments in the law are, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Lastly, soon after the church was organized, the Lord commanded the saints to visit the poor and the needy and administer to their relief. What is the common theme in all these commandments? It is that we must love one another and serve one another. This is, in fact, the essence of discipleship in the true Church of Jesus Christ. As we celebrate 75 years of the Church Welfare Program, we are reminded of the purposes of welfare, which are to help members help themselves become self-reliant, to care for the poor and needy, and to give service. The church has organized these resources to assist members to provide for the physical, spiritual, social, and emotional well-being of themselves, their families, and others. The office of the bishop carries with it a special mandate to care for the poor and needy and to administer such resources for the members in his ward. He is assisted in his efforts by priesthood quorums, Relief Society, and in particular, home and visiting teachers. Relief Society has always been at the heart of welfare. When the Prophet Joseph Smith organized the Relief Society in 1842, he said to the women, "This is the beginning of better days to the poor and needy." He told the sisters that the purpose of the society was relief of the poor, the destitute, the widow, and the orphan. And for the exercise of all benevolent purposes, they will pour in oil and wine to the wounded heart of the distressed. They will dry up the tears of the orphan and make the widow's heart to rejoice.
In 1913, Charity Never Faileth was established as the motto for the Relief Society. This would be a constant reminder of the founding purpose and the guiding principles of the organization. Sisters organized to extend charity, the pure love of Christ, close to home as well as worldwide. Sister Allred also taught the principle of self-reliance.
Despite the rapidly changing world, welfare principles have not changed with the passing of time because they are divinely inspired, revealed truth. When members of the church and their families do everything they can to sustain themselves and still cannot meet basic needs, the church stands ready to help. Short-term needs are met immediately, and a plan to help the recipient become self-reliant is established. Self-reliance is the ability to provide the spiritual and temporal necessities of life for self and family. As we increase our own level of self-reliance, we increase our ability to help and serve others the way the Savior did. We follow the Savior's example when we minister to the needy, the sick, and the suffering. When love becomes the guiding principle in our care for others, our service to them becomes the gospel in action. It is the gospel in its finest moment. It is pure religion. To think that a humble sister or brother with a church calling can go into a home where there is poverty, sorrow, sickness, or distress and can bring peace, relief, and happiness is astonishing. No matter where the ward or branch is, or how big or small the group is, every member throughout the world has that same opportunity. It happens every day, and it is happening somewhere at this very moment.
Through home and visiting teaching, we follow the example of Christ as we minister one by one, watch over, and strengthen one another. Sister Allred.
The pure love of Christ is expressed as we give selfless service. Helping one another is a sanctifying experience which exalts the receiver and humbles the giver. It helps us become true disciples of Christ. The welfare plan has always been the application of eternal principles of the gospel. It truly is providing in the Lord's way. Let us each renew our desire to be part of the Lord's storehouse in blessing others. I pray that the Lord will bless each of us with a greater sense of mercy, charity, and compassion. I plead for an increase in our desire and ability to reach out and assist the less fortunate, the distressed, and those who suffer, that their needs may be met, that their faith may be strengthened, and that their hearts may be filled with gratitude and love. May the Lord bless each one of us as we walk in obedience to his commandments, his gospel, and his light.
Bishop H. David Burton spoke of the history of the welfare program and explains that welfare defines us as disciples of Christ.
The commitment of church leaders to relieve human suffering was as certain as it was irrevocable. President Grant wanted a system that would reach out to take care of people no matter what the cost. He said he would even go so far as to close the seminaries, shut down the missionary work for a period of time, or even close the temples, but they would not let the people go hungry. One of the distinguishing characteristics of this inspired gospel-centered endeavor is its emphasis on personal responsibility and self-reliance. President Marion G. Romney explained, "Many programs have been set up by well-meaning individuals to aid those who are in need. However, many of these programs are designed with a short-sighted objective, helping people as opposed to helping people help themselves." Self-reliance is a product of provident living and exercising economic self-discipline. From the beginning, the church has taught that families, to the extent they can, need to assume responsibility for their own temporal welfare. Each generation is required to learn anew the foundational principles of self-reliance, avoiding debt, implementing principles of thrift, prepare for times of distress, listen and follow the words of the living oracles, develop the discipline to distinguish between needs and wants, and then live accordingly. The purpose, promise, and principles that reinforce our work of caring for the poor and needy extend far beyond the bounds of mortality. This sacred work is not only to benefit and bless those who suffer or are in need. As sons and daughters of God, we cannot inherit the full measure of eternal life without being fully invested in caring for each other while we are here on earth. It is in the benevolent practice of sacrifice and giving of ourselves to others that we learn the celestial principles of sacrifice and consecration. No matter how many temples we build, no matter how large our membership grows, no matter how positively we are perceived in the eyes of the world, should we fail in this great core commandment to, quote, succor the weak, lift up the hands which hang down, and strengthen the feeble knees, or turn our hearts from those who suffer and mourn, we are under condemnation and cannot please the Lord, and the jubilant hope of our hearts will ever be distant. This is the sacred work of the Savior expects from his disciples. It is the work he loved when he walked the earth. It is the work I know we would find him doing were he here among us today. The prophetic welfare plan is not merely an interesting footnote in the history of the church. The principles upon which it is based defines who we are as a people. It is the essence of who we are as individual disciples of our Savior and exemplar, Jesus the Christ. The work of caring for one another and being kind to the poor is a sanctifying work, commanded of the Father and divinely designed to bless, refine, and exalt his children. May we follow the Savior's counsel and to the certain liar in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Go and do thou likewise.
President Thomas S. Monson spoke of the blessings of the welfare program.
As indicated, this year marks the 75th anniversary of this inspired program, which has blessed the lives of so many. As both Bishop Burton, Sister Allred, and others mentioned, the Bishop of the Ward is given the responsibility to care for those in need who reside within the boundaries of his ward. Such was my privilege when I presided as a very young bishop in Salt Lake City over a ward of 1,080 members, including 84 widows. There were many who needed assistance. How grateful I was for the welfare program of the church and for the help of the Relief Society and the priesthood quorums. I declare that the welfare program of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is inspired of Almighty God.
Elder Quinton L. Cook shared the story of Elizabeth Jackson, a widow, who came across the plains with the Martin Handcart Company. He spoke of her sufferings and sacrifice for the kingdom of God, but commented that there are many women today around the world who are serving and making sacrifices.
I believe the women of the church today meet that challenge and are every bit as strong and faithful. The priesthood leadership of this church at all levels gratefully acknowledges the service, sacrifice, commitment, and contribution of the sisters. Much of what we accomplish in the church is due to the selfless service of women. Whether in the church or in the home, it is a beautiful thing to see the priesthood and the Relief Society work in perfect harmony. Such a relationship is like a well-tuned orchestra, and the resulting symphony inspires all of us. Our sisters throughout the church consistently succor the weak, lift up the hands which hang down, and strengthen the feeble knees. One Relief Society president who acknowledged this extraordinary service said, "Even when the sisters serve, they are thinking, if only I could have done more." Though they are not perfect and all face individual struggles, their faith in a loving Father in heaven and the assurance of the atoning sacrifice of the Savior permeates their lives. All members of the Church of Jesus Christ are to labor in his vineyard for the salvation of the souls of men. The work of salvation includes member missionary work, convert retention, activation of less active members, temple and family history work, teaching the gospel, and caring for the poor and needy. The remarkable pioneer woman, Emily H. Woodmansey, penned the text of the hymn as Sisters in Zion. She correctly asserts that the errand of angels is given to women. This has been described as nothing less than to do the direct and immediate bidding of our Father in heaven, and this is a gift that sisters claim. Dear sisters, we love and admire you. We appreciate your service in the Lord's kingdom. You are incredible. I express particular appreciation for the women in my life.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program. Today we are reviewing messages of service and welfare from the April 2011 General Conference. President Henry B. Eyring reminds us of the love our Heavenly Father has for his children and encourages us to help those in need by acting upon the sympathetic feelings we have for others.
Our Heavenly Father hears the prayers of his children across the earth. pleading for food to eat, clothes to cover their bodies, and for the dignity that would come from being able to provide for themselves. Those pleas have reached him since he placed men and women on the earth. The Lord's way to help those in need, in temporal need, requires people who, out of love, have consecrated themselves and what they have to God and to his word. He has invited and commanded us to participate in his work to lift up those in need. We have a covenant to do that in the waters of baptism and in the holy temples of God. We renew the covenant on Sundays when we partake of the sacrament.
President Eyring also shared some of the principles that have guided him in serving others.
First, everyone is happier and feels more self-respect when they can provide for themselves and their family and then reach out to take care of others. I have been grateful for those who helped me meet my needs. I have been even more grateful over the years for those who have helped me become self-reliant. And then I have been most grateful for those who showed me how to use some of my surplus to help others. I have learned that the way to have a surplus is to spend less than I earn. With that surplus, I have been able to learn that it really is better to give than to receive. That is partly because when we give help in the Lord's way, he blesses us. President Marion G. Romney said of welfare work, "You cannot give yourself poor in this work." And then he quoted his mission president, Melvin J. Ballard, this way, "A person cannot give a crust to the Lord without receiving a loaf in return." I found that to be true in my life. When I am generous to Heavenly Father's children in need, he is generous to me. The second gospel principle that has been a guide to me in welfare work is the power and blessing of unity. When we join hands to serve people in need, the Lord unites our hearts. That leads to the third principle of action in welfare work for me. Draw your family into the work with you so that they can learn to care for each other as they care for others. Your sons and daughters who work with you to serve others in need will be more likely to help each other when they are in need. The fourth valuable principle of church welfare I learned as a bishop, it came from following the scriptural command to seek out the poor. It is the duties of the bishop to find and provide help to those who still need assistance after all they and their families can do. I found that the Lord sends the Holy Ghost to make it possible to seek and ye shall find in caring for the poor as it does in finding truth. But I also learned to involve the Relief Society president in the search. She may get the revelation before you do.
Elder M. Russell Ballard explains that charity is loving one another.
When this pure love of Christ, or charity, envelops us, we think, feel, and act more like Heavenly Father and Jesus would think, feel, and act. Our motivation and heartfelt desire is like unto that of the Savior's. He shared this desire with his apostles on the eve of his crucifixion. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." The love the Savior described in him is an active love. It's not manifested through large and heroic deeds, but rather through simple acts of kindness and service. There are a myriad of ways and circumstances in which we can serve and love others. May I suggest just a few? First, charity begins at home. The single most important principle that should govern every home is to practice the golden rule, the Lord's admonition that all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Take a moment and imagine how you would feel if you were on the receiving end of thoughtless words or actions. By our example, let us teach our family members to have love one for another. Another place where we have ample opportunity to serve is in the church. Our wards and branches should be a place where the golden rule always guides our words and actions towards each other. By treating each other kindly, speaking words of support and encouragement, and being sensitive to each other's needs, we can create loving unity among ward members. Where charity exists, there is no place for gossip or unkind words. Ward members, both adults and youth, can unite in meaningful service to bless the lives of others. Just 2 weeks ago, the president of South America Northwest Area, Elder Nash, reported that by assigning the strong in spirit to those that are weak, they are rescuing hundreds of less active adults and youth. Through love and service, one by one, they are coming back. These acts of kindness create strong and lasting bond between everyone involved, both the helpers and the helpees. So many precious memories are centered around such service. A third area where we can serve is in our communities. As a pure expression of our love and concern, we can reach out to those who have need of our help. Many of you have put on the Helping Hands t-shirts and worked tirelessly to relieve suffering and improve your communities. Young single adults in the Sendai Japan Stake recently provided invaluable service in searching for members in the aftermath of the devastating earthquake and tsunami. There are countless ways to serve. Through our heartfelt kindness and service, we can make friends with those whom we serve. From these friendships come better understanding of our devotion to the gospel and a desire to learn more about us. My good friend, Elder Joseph Worthlin, talked of the power of this principle when he said, "Kindness is an essence of greatness. It is a passport that opens doors and fashions friends. It softens hearts and molds relationships that can last a lifetime." Another way we can serve Heavenly Father's children is through missionary service, not only as full-time missionaries, but also as friends and neighbors. The future growth of the church will not happen through just knocking on strangers' doors. It will happen when the members, along with our missionaries, filled with the love of God and Christ, discern needs and respond to those needs in the spirit of charitable service. When we do this, brothers and sisters, the honest in heart will feel our sincerity and our love. Many will want to know more about us. Then and only then will the church expand to fill all of the earth. This cannot be accomplished by missionaries alone, but requires the interest and the service of every member. In all of our service, we need to be sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Ghost. The still, small voice will let us know who needs our help and what we can do to help them. President Thomas S. Monson counseled, "The needs of others are ever present, and each of us can do something to help someone. Unless we lose ourselves in service to others, there is little purpose to our own lives." Brothers and sisters, may I reemphasize that the most important attribute of Heavenly Father and His beloved Son that we should desire and seek to possess within our lives is the gift of charity, the pure love of Christ. From this gift springs our capacity to love and to serve others as the Savior did. The prophet Mormon taught us the supreme importance of this gift and told us how we can receive it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are the followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure.
President Dieter F. Uchtdorf spoke of missionary work and encouraged us to listen to the Spirit so we can serve those in need. He also explains that in serving, we receive answers to our own prayers.
It has been my experience that some of the most powerful promptings we receive are not only for our own benefit, but also for the benefit of others. If we're thinking only of ourselves, we may miss some of the most powerful spiritual experiences and profound revelations of our lives. President Kimball taught this concept when he said, God does notice us, and he watches over us. But it is usually through another person that he meets our needs. Therefore, it is vital that we serve each other. Brothers and sisters, we each have made a covenant, and we have a covenant responsibility to be sensitive to the needs of others and serve as the Savior did, to reach out, bless, and uplift those around us. Often the answer to our prayer does not come while we are on our knees, but while we are on our feet, serving the Lord and serving those around us. Selfless acts of service and consecration refine our spirits, remove the scales from our spiritual eyes, and open the windows of heaven. By becoming the answer to someone's prayer, we often find the answer to our own.
Elder Benjamin de Hoyos of the 70 taught about this refining, sanctifying process.
To the degree that members of the church live the gospel and follow the counsel of the prophets, they will, little by little, and even without noticing it, become sanctified. For many years, I have been a witness to the faithfulness of the members of the church, saints of the latter days who, with faith in our Heavenly Father's plan and in the atonement of our Savior Jesus Christ, have overcome tribulations and afflictions with bravery and great enthusiasm, thus persevering and continuing in the straight and narrow path of sanctification. Even though our understanding of the gospel may not be as deep as is our testimony of its truth, if we place our confidence in the Lord, we will be sustained in all of our difficulties, our trials, and our afflictions. This promise from the Lord to his saints do not imply that we will be exempt from sufferings or trials, but that we will be sustained through them, and that we will know that it is the Lord who has sustained us.
Elder Richard G. Scott spoke of his wife's charitable nature, the selfless qualities she had, and the service she gave.
Pure love is an incomparable potent power for good. Righteous love is the foundation of a successful marriage. It is the primary cause of contented, well-developed children. Who can justly measure the righteous influence of a mother's love? What enduring fruits result from the seeds of truth that a mother carefully plants and lovingly cultivates in the fertile soil of a child's trusting mind and heart? As a mother, you have been given divine instincts to help you sense your special child's needs and unique capacities. With your husband, you can nurture, strengthen, and cause those traits to flower. Please pardon me or speaking of my precious wife, Janine, but we are an eternal family. She was always joyously happy, and much of it came from service to others. Even while very ill, in her morning prayer, she would ask her Father in heaven to lead her to someone that she could help. That sincere supplication was answered time and again. The burdens of many were eased. Their lives were brightened. She was blessed continually for being an instrument directed by the Lord.
President Thomas S. Monson thanked church members for their efforts in helping those affected by the recent earthquake in Japan, as well as thanking members all over the world for their service in their wards and communities.
The church continues to provide humanitarian aid in times of disaster. Most recently, our hearts and our help have gone out to Japan following the devastating earthquake and tsunami and the resultant nuclear challenges. We have distributed over 70 tons of supplies, including food, water, blankets, bedding, hygiene items, clothing, and fuel. Our young single adults have volunteered their time to locate missing members using the internet, social media, and other modern means of communication. Members are delivering aid via scooters provided by the church to areas that are difficult to reach by car. Service projects to assemble hygiene kits and cleaning kits are being organized in multiple states and wards in Tokyo, Nagoya, and Osaka. Thus far, over 40,000 hours of service have been donated by more than 4,000 volunteers. Our help will be ongoing in Japan and in any other areas where there's need. My brothers and sisters, I thank you for your faith and devotion to the gospel, for the love and care you show to one another, and for the service you provide in your wards, branches, and states and districts. Thank you as well for your faithfulness in paying your tithes and offerings, and for your generosity in contributing to the other funds of the church.
Seeking out and giving relief is one of the core Relief Society purposes. Thank you for joining us for the Mormon Channel Relief Society program for our discussion on service and welfare from the April 2011 General Conference. For more information on this program, visit mormonchannel.lds.org. To share a story or experience with the Mormon Channel, email us at mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. Thanks for listening.